Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A very big thank you to my last guest, Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin, discussing the attempts by Congressman Derek Van Orten, Brian Steele, Tom Tiffany, Jeff Fitzgerald, Glenn Grothman. I think that's all of them. I think I hit all of them in the Wisconsin congressional delegation on the House side to cut Medicaid and food assistance programs. They can't make the math work. They know this. They're lying about it. Now they're dodging their constituents and avoiding town halls. Rest assured, everyone, we will give you the numbers for of most recent importance, both Derek Van Orten and Brian Steele, in our show notes for today. My recommendation, give them a buzz, maybe record the call. Be sure you identify yourself if you indeed are a constituent, as a constituent of the 1st and 3rd congressional districts as appropriate, because you deserve to get some answers. I know I want to hear what their explanations are, because I don't know how you get $888 billion in cuts without cutting Medicaid, when only $200 billion of that committee's expenditures are non-Medicaid. Just don't know. I don't know how the math works. It doesn't work that way. But we're here to talk about yet another abomination and undermining of basic government accountability, this time at the hands of Supreme Court candidate, current Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel. I'm joined by an expert in such matters, Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. Welcome back to the show, Jeff. It's a real pleasure to have you back.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much, Maggie.
All right. What is up? Explain to us. Let's not start with the actual court decision. Let's start at the begin, as my mom would like to say. Explain to folks what Wisconsin's open meetings and open records laws are and how universally respected they are by both conservatives and liberals alike.
Wisconsin's been a leader in government transparency, and we have open records and open meetings laws that make sure that everyone in Wisconsin can follow and understand and watch what the government does. So if a government body, whether that is the legislature or a legislative committee, or it is a local city council or a school board or a committee within those organizations, is going to be conducting public business, they notice that meeting in advance so that people who are interested can watch or attend, and they have to conduct that business in public, not in private. This has been the law in Wisconsin for generations. As I said earlier, and you mentioned, Wisconsin is a leader in this. This is something that Wisconsin is recognized around the country for having been at the forefront of. And it's really part of our civic fabric and what makes our democracy in Wisconsin so strong.
It is. And having worked in government for a long time, I was very happy to always advise clients, listen, if there's any shadow of a doubt, let's err on the side of transparency and openness, all those really good things. And again, been around for well over 100 years here in Wisconsin. It establishes the public's right to see the business of government at work. Turning now to what occurred in Waukesha County, this involved a school board to which the open meetings laws applies, and they were trying to fill a vacant position. Tell us what happened next and what the problem was, Jeff.
Sure. This happened during COVID, and so the school board was meeting via Zoom, and they started by interviewing four candidates who were interested in filling this vacancy on the board. And the chairman of the board said, you know, for discussion purposes, to try to move things along, I'd like everyone to email me their first and second preferences here, and we'll see if we can move this forward. He said, these aren't votes. This is part of the discussion. And if at some point we have a consensus that at least four people, a majority of those of us participating in this meeting, support one candidate, then I will report that and ask for a motion that we could vote on here in public session. Initially, there was no consensus. after the first round of emails, the chairman of the board narrowed it down to two candidates. Coincidentally, when the emails came out later, it showed that both he and the vice chair, the two candidates they narrowed it down to, were their two preferences.
Weird.
They then discussed between these two candidates, and he asked for another round of emails. Send me who you would prefer. And it was deadlocked, 3-3. He announced that, they discussed some more, and he asked for another round of emails. That round of emails was also deadlocked, 3-3. However, he said that it was 4-2 and that his preferred candidate had the most votes. At that point, someone made a motion that that person be appointed, that the candidate he said had the most votes be appointed, and that motion passed. That person took a seat on the school board going forward. This only came to light because later, an individual used the open records law to get copies of all these emails and looked at them and said, wait a minute, this isn't what happened at all. And so the candidate who got left out in this process sued and said, you violated the open meetings law. You were using these emails as part of a public discussion, but you weren't actually disclosing their contents. And that led to this misinformation. And Judge Schimmel,
if I can, I just want to hop in here to summarize the facts of this case so everybody understands this. You had the chair of a governmental body conducting personnel hiring decisions, which were required to be public, in a purportedly public meeting via secret emails that only he had access to, and lying about the contents of said emails, which ended up resulting in the guy that he wanted to get the job getting the job. That's what happened here. By the way, I'm just going to make this note. Having been someone who served as a public lawyer for a long time, I'll just say this. Whomever was the lawyer for the school board that did this, yeah, that's when you light your hair on fire and say, stop the proceedings. Secret emails do not comport with Wisconsin open meetings law. This isn't how we're going to do things here. But basically, it was the veneer of compliance with the open meetings law, but the use of secret emails, misrepresentations of what those emails said. The secret emails, even arguably as a process point, I would say, didn't comply with the open meetings law, even had the chairperson gotten the votes correct. But he then made it even worse by lying about the votes and ended up, you know, magically, little quinky dink here, the guy that he wanted to get the job got the job, even though that's not what the vote said. It's pretty astounding. About as clear cut of a violation of the open meetings law as I have ever seen in over 20 years of governmental law practice. But apparently Judge Schimmel didn't see it that way, Jeff, did he?
No, he didn't. And it is pretty amazing. As the Court of Appeals said, it's stunning that the chair later in his brief said that the entire process was, quote, entirely transparent, end quote. When, of course, the whole point it was anything but. And entire transparency is what we expect and what the law demands from our public servants when they are making public decisions. And Judge Schimmel got around this. He said that the lawsuit failed and that there was not a problem here. And that in itself,
it's such a stupid decision, but what arguable like crud did he try to throw up on the wall to explain away this absurdity?
Well, that in itself is also upsetting, because what he said is there was no intent to hide anything here. And the way he knew that, he said, was that when there was an open records request for the emails, it was fulfilled. So in other words, you did something that was totally illegal. But then later it doesn't cure it. And,
no.
and by the way, giving out those emails was only required by the open records law. It's not as if he did it out of the goodness of his heart or he was trying to make up for this. He says, to be clear, that the chair says it was a mistake, that he didn't realize it was tied 3-3 again, but he never tried to correct that mistake. He never did anything about it. He never disclosed it. And so what Judge Schimmel said is there was no intent here. There's the problem, Maggie, you probably know this.
Yeah.
Intent is not an element
of
a file. It's not part of an open records case.
I mean,
Well, and it's more than it's not in the statute. In 1979, the Wisconsin Supreme Court unanimously said that intent is irrelevant to this. And so if Judge Schimmel had merely done the most simple of legal research, he would have found that the explanation he offered for saying that there was no violation here was incorrect and was counter to settled, longstanding Wisconsin law. And I think that's part of what's so amazing about this. As you know, the Court of Appeals in this state, you know, our circuit courts are generally doing a pretty good job. Most of the time, the Court of Appeals affirms what happened below in only
90% of the time.
Exactly. And only 9% of the time does the Court of Appeals in Waukesha overturn a judge on a civil thing. And here you have it's the most conservative part of our Court of Appeals in the entire state overturning unanimously this decision by Judge Schimmel and really calling it pretty shameful.
Folks, this is Jeff Mandel. He's my special guest this half hour from Law Forward. We're discussing, this is my language, not my guess, Shady Schimmel, the shameless shill, inability to read the most basic concepts of law and get them correct in cases that are absolutely essential to your ability to hold your governmental elected officials and public servants accountable. When we talk to folks, it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, everybody wants to be able to hold their governmental elected officials accountable. Brad Schimmel, candidate for our Supreme Court coming up in an election in less than a month, said just the opposite. I want to dig into this idea that in his ruling he talked about that there was no intent to deceive and how, frankly, in my legal opinion as a lawyer, that is so dumb. And secondly, no factual record really to support that sort of a strong inference and why the open records and open meetings law here in Wisconsin have nothing to do with intent. We're going to return with my very special guest, Jeff Mandel, after these brief messages. My name is Maggie Dawn. You want to hold government accountable? Well, stay tuned. We discuss more after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.